Now, live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
I never get tired of that play.
That's a good one.
I never get tired of hearing Fred go 90 against Miami.
He's gone!
So wonderful.
All Brian had to do was count down the yardage from about midfield, Tony. It was fun. Good times back then. And
TV calls great. Brock Marion chasing. Brock Marion still chasing.
Oh,
it's great stuff.
At least he didn't give up. Good for you, Brock. Way to hang in there, man. Boy, last week made it seem like we're still a long way away, Dave, from a return to those kind of glory days when the Jags were a threat not only to make it to the playoffs but make a run when they got there.
You know, I was feeling pretty good in the first half. Yeah, I didn't like the couple three and outs to start the game, but overall, I felt like, okay, we have improved, and then it just started going downhill. You throw a pick six, you know, the defense doesn't get off the field towards the end of the game. It was not pretty, you know, and everything that they had shown in the preseason, that's why you can't always get too overly excited when you're in the preseason, but you expected a little bit more than what we got last week, and you know, hopefully they can turn that around and show what they've shown in the preseason for this game.
We'll talk about that a lot today. Were you misty-eyed watching it last week at the missed opportunity for the Pirates in Gainesville last Saturday? The one that got away.
I walked away with a moral victory there.
You did get one of those. I don't know if they give them out.
I walked away with a moral.
If you're going to take a moral victory,
yeah,
that was a good game.
You know
to
what?
Get one.
We marched down the field on the first drive, threw a touchdown. I said, oh man, I can leave right now. I'm happy. You know,
right.
Just to be able to
picture
do that.
Picture the scoreboard, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I did do that. Kind of changed real quickly, and then we threw a pick six, and so things change. Whenever you throw a pick six, I mean, it takes all the air out of your team. It takes the air out of anything that you were doing previous, and just sets you back. And so when you can eliminate those things, you give yourself a much better chance. And, you know, I watched the tape of Blake's interception. It actually started because of the slot guy not getting off his jam. So he was running down the field to run a corner or seam, whatever it was. And that would have pulled the corner deep. But since the corner had nobody deep to go after, he just squatted on the running back that motioned out there. And Blake just has to be able to see that this does not look good. I can tell that that corner did not have any kind of drop, any kind of back pedal. So I need to miss this thing high and outside. And he still tried to put it on him. You know, he's trying to be a tough, strong-arm quarterback and put it in there. But I'm already going to have a little hesitation because it's a running back running a quick out. And they don't give you a whole lot of confidence the further they are from the center. You know, so it's one of those things that, you know, you have to put in your memory bank that it's got to look perfect. It's got to be a perfect situation for me to throw this ball out there.
How tough is it for a young quarterback to then play with a fearless mentality? As you said, it kind of knocks you back a little bit, but you can't allow it to. Obviously, that'll come with experience. The more you play, you're going to get over it. I mean, we saw it last night. Peyton Manning. He's got all the experience you could possibly want. Looked atrocious early in that football game. As bad as I've ever seen
an NFL quarterback
in terms of arm strength. Some of those throws early on. They weird as, you know, not really kidding about it. I was like, should I tweet out, you know, that Brock Osweiler should be warming up right now? I mean, it really looked like he wasn't going to be good enough to finish the game. And all of a sudden, I mean, he didn't turn into John Elway, but he got a little bit more zip on his passes and bounced back big time.
You know, I think for Peyton, he went into the game hearing all the talk about him and how he'd been struggling the last few games going into last year and everything. And so it was probably playing on his mind a little bit more. And then he came out not having so much success, and it started to weigh a little bit more, you know, as the game kept going on. And then he almost threw that second pick. And I think he just finally, you know, reached down inside somewhere and recounted all the times he'd been in situations like this and just said, you know what, let's just go out and fire the ball. I don't care what people are saying. You know, I'm Peyton Manning. You know, I still have enough in me to be able to go out here and win ball games. And you could just tell he just all of a sudden started throwing a ball. He wasn't, you know, throwing rockets, but he was throwing it on time. He was putting it on the money, still had a nice wobble to it. But when you have that ability to recall those kind of things from, you know, decade of playing football, that helps because you know that you still have enough clout to come out, make a few mistakes, and still go out and finish the ball game the right way like he did, where Blake doesn't have that. He just knows that I've thrown pick sixes last year. I've won a couple games, but we're not heading in the right direction right now. So I don't have that clout to fall back on. And it sometimes young guys can just keep going downhill as opposed to pulling themselves out of it.
Yeah, it felt like deja vu, honestly, watching that game
really
last night. Because I go back to, I can't remember if it was week two or three on Monday Night Football where the Chiefs embarrassed the Patriots and Tom Brady. And I was watching that game. I was like, I know what the score was, but I was like, the Chiefs are killing this football team. You know, I mean, it's just they are killing this team that people think maybe a favorite for that division, a favorite to go back to the Super Bowl at some point later this year as well. And Peyton Manning looks like he's just done, you know, in the third quarter. You're like, it felt like watching Tom Brady go up against this Chiefs defense last year. And then Peyton figured out within this game, Tom figured it out in the middle of the season last year, and that offense got back on track. And it was just watching him take advantage of the athletes he has. He's like, Demaryius Thomas is 10 feet tall and can jump out of the stadium, so I'm just going to keep throwing it up to this guy and let him go make plays for me. And as soon as he started trusting that to happen again, everything opened up, and you could feel Kansas City was back on their heels for that last drive. And then just the, I mean, we talk about you're not aggressive enough at the end of games. Why waste that 30 seconds? Well, this is why. Every now and then it's okay to just waste 30 seconds
when
of an NFL game.
And you don't have an explosive offense.
Exactly.
I've heard it forever, David, and we talked about it before the show. The idea of running that draw is, well, maybe he gets 20, and then we can call a timeout and go. Well, then try to get 20 yards and go, or don't.
Yeah.
There's no reason to put that play in. Just take a knee, go to overtime. You've been better than Denver all day.
It's one of those things where coaches have been doing the same thing for years, and this is kind of all they know, and so they think, well, we're just going to hand it off, see if something pops, and if it does, we'll keep going. But if it doesn't, you know, we'll just take a knee or whatever. So it's just one of those things. They have to get out of that mentality and just think, let's just get to overtime here.
By the way, do you know how many passing yards you had in your career?
I do not.
16,003. Exactly 16,003, which ranks you 130th all time. That's not bad.
It's cool.
That's,
yeah,
130. I guys in the history of the league.
I would not have thought that. That's pretty awesome.
All right, so 130th. Peyton Manning, to put it in perspective, 70,122 as of this morning. So if you were to come back, Dave, you only got 54,000 yards
play
to
50
go.
And I can do that.
Unbelievable. I mean, 54,000 yards,
you know what?
Which only four guys had thrown that many.
A buddy of mine was playing one of those trivia games on his phone, and he texted me, Dave, did you know that you have the most thrown yards and touchdowns for your draft class? And I never even thought about that either.
How about that?
That's pretty cool. Joey Harrington, David Carr, all those guys.
And they ain't coming back from behind to catch you either.
No, they're not.
I think you're pretty safe there with those 16,003. Nice job, David Garrard. All right, Dave's here with us for the next 2 hours. We'll talk Jaguar football with you, as is our custom on a Friday. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day asks you for your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at David Garrard 9. At 1010XL, Fat Tony, of course, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is open for business. We'll hear from Gus Bradley coming up shortly. Also, phone lines for you, 641-1010. That's the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line number as well. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on a game week Friday, on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, a lot of coaches are resistant to taking a phone call after a loss, and you're not.
No, you know, I think, you know, we talked about that, you know, take phone calls. And, you know, you never want to be somebody that takes them after a win, but now a loss, all right, let's not take any. Yeah. I mean, our fans are so important to this whole process. And believe me, like I said, I mean, you talk about our players playing effort, with great effort from start to finish. How about our fans?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I appreciate them, and they're just passionate. And shoot, that's the type of players we want. That's the type of fans we want.
Passionate fans, Tony. Don't question a play calling, but be passionate about other things and call the Gus Bradley Show on Thursday night. Gus is so chill, man. Absolutely, we're going to take calls. What? Me worry? A lot of fans think you might need to worry. He has to win some games soon. We'll find out. Let's hope that's not the case. And they get a W this week against the Miami Dolphins coming in, Dave. But that's been, you know, look, obviously, I think, you know, we're not going to dwell on breaking down last week's game. We'll look ahead to the Dolphins. But I just think, you know, fans were so built up, their expectations and their hopes and all that. And I don't think it's anyone's particular fault on that. I mean, we all buy it. We see what we see, and we get excited about it, and we hope that they're going to turn the corner and take a big step forward, and maybe they still will. But for the first game of the week, with the exception of the Vikings on Monday Night Football, the only team to score in single digits, you know, just kind of left you flat. And so you do get the questioning of the play calling. Of course, Blake made the comments this week about, you know, likening that to a kindergartner trying to have a conversation with a college student. And then was that Instagram he posted the photo on
it
yesterday?
I saw that on Twitter right there.
Was it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Where he posted a photo of himself in kindergarten. You know, he's trying to, he probably realizes it's probably going to get taken the wrong way by some people, and that's fine. So he's kind of laughing it off. And you ever get frustrated with that? I know you guys always talk about we try to ignore the noise outside, but when it builds to a certain level, I would imagine it's hard to do.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand what he was trying to say there, but you just don't want to say comments like that. You know, you're not trying to degrade the fans and make them feel, you know, less than you and that like they don't know anything. And so, you understand it, but you just have to be able to bite your tongue a little bit. Yeah, you can get a little bit frustrated. You definitely get frustrated. You say you don't listen to the noise and all that kind of stuff, but stuff still creeps in. You know, for the longest time, I never listened to any radio shows. I didn't even know what channel you guys were on.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Yeah, you know, but I had to do that. You know, that was to protect myself, protect my family, because, you know, if they see me always dwelling on what everybody's saying, you know, that just brings down the whole mood in our household. And so, you know, I try to stay out of that and just pay attention to what's going on inside the locker room, what's going on inside our team. And so those are the things that help you avoid the noise. The good thing was I could still watch ESPN. They didn't really have us on there very much.
Right,
so I could still keep up with everybody else, which was, you know, still kind of sad though. But, yeah, so there's going to be noise. You just got to be able to see through it. It was one game. I felt like they had some real positive things in that first half there where they were moving the ball. They got down the field. Now they did, not score a few times, but then he got, you know, the pass to Rashad Green and, so I felt like there were some positive things, and then they got in the second half, and it was just, you know, it was just not the same kind of feeling. Like, I was still feeling pretty good about things in the first half, got into the second half, and then when the pick six happened, you know, everything, the whole mood in the stadium just changed.
You know who I wish didn't listen to our radio shows? Jack Del Rio. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Apparently, he was a big follower.
Yeah, apparently, he was just on Friday afternoon. So, yeah. Just having some fun there. All right. What do you do when you've got a receiving corps that is struggling to catch a football as a quarterback? I mean, you can't coach them. They know how to catch the football. They don't get to this point without being able to do that. But when they're not doing it, whether it's nerves or whatever, I mean, what do you do to help get these guys going?
You know, that's a tough thing because it's really that individual person. I mean, you try to put the ball in places where it's easier for them to catch. You're not always going to throw the perfect pass to them, and you're going to expect them to make some plays for you. But the thing that I would do is I would just continue to go back to the basics. I would go out before practice and throw a bunch of balls to the receivers. I would stay after practice and throw even more passes just because they can get that muscle memory. They can get that confidence back in that I can snag these passes. And even when you get into warm-ups of the games, you go out early and you throw more passes to them. The receivers need to have the ball hit their hands. They need to feel themselves catch the ball. If you can continue to do that, they can continue to have some success early in the game. Their confidence builds. But when you're like Allen Robinson and you drop one of the first passes thrown to you, now your confidence is kind of wavering a little bit. So in my mind, I would try to keep feeding them so that he could get those catches and realize, okay, I can do this. You know, let me just make these plays. And so as you keep feeding them early in the ball game, their confidence grows, and then hopefully they're, you know, playing up to that level where they should be.
Do you maybe call something like a quick wide receiver screen or something like that just
quick
to get
things,
the ball
yeah.
in their hands?
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. You want to feed them, and whatever it is, if it's a quick slant, whether it's a wide receiver bubble screen, anything just to get the ball in their hands so that they can get that familiarity with the ball again and get their confidence back up. That's all they want. They just want to get the ball in hands. They want to make a few plays, and when they do that, their confidence is high, and then you'll see them snagging everything.
How much, you know, for you guys coming off that 2007 season going into 2008, there were a lot of expectations for that football team after that season. You're getting ready for week one, the hype going through an off season, and then you get into that game. I think you open up against Tennessee,
yep.
And you lost week one. And just the emotion of going through an off season where you feel like, okay, this is the year where we're going to catch the Colts. All this stuff was heaped on your shoulders. How much does all of that weigh on you week one when something goes wrong in that game because you've had 4 months to think about this particular game?
Yeah, you definitely have a lot, you know, riding on your shoulders, and you do feel like there's more pressure on you. But it's still football. It's still going out and making plays. And we had some unfortunate things that happened in that ball game. We lost Vince Manoy early in the game. And so the backup guard came in, was not nearly as good. And so it was just a tough battle for us that year. It seemed like the year before we couldn't do anything wrong. And then once we got into that season, it was just like the uphill climb was intense. And I think that was, you know, partly our own fault, but then also the other teams were expecting us now. They weren't, you know, looking over the Jaguars. They weren't thinking, oh, this is going to come out, we're going to have an easy win. They were game planning. They were ready for us. And at times we just weren't living up to our own end of the bargain. And so, You definitely have a lot of things that weigh on you, but it's still football. As long as collectively everybody's going out there doing their job, making their plays, then you should be fine. And sometimes you need a little bit of luck on your side to help you through things. And you know, sometimes it's not there for you.
641-1010, the number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We'll get to that momentarily. I felt, after I asked you, do you remember that about the Jack Del Rio thing? For folks that don't remember, putting a kibosh on the short-lived David Garrard show, I felt like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney, Tony. Remember that time? Did that song yesterday?
Yeah. That was awesome.
Well, his reasoning for pulling the show was he didn't want me doing a show so late in the week rehashing plays from the week before and letting the
fans.
He
wanted your mind to be focused on the upcoming game.
Even though his show was coming on.
Correct.
Just an hour after mine.
Hours. Good time. All right, this one on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. David, is it concerning that the Jaguars currently don't have a wide receiver number one, and how does that affect Bortles' growth? First of all, do you agree with that? Allen Robinson, do you think he ultimately can profile as a number one wide receiver by NFL standards? And I don't just mean as the top guy in his team. I'm talking about a guy who could be considered a top 20 player in the league eventually.
I think so. You know, I think he has the ability. I think he has the strength. He has the makeup that you want from a number one guy. He just has to continue to work on his consistency. Now, it was just one game. So if he comes out and has 8 or 9 catches for 100-plus yards, everybody's going to forget that he dropped a couple of passes the week before. So it's one game. Let's continue to back our guys. Let's show the support so that they cannot feel like, oh, well, here we go again. The fans are already dropping out on us, even though the fans have been great. The fans have been very supportive. You don't want to give them that feeling that after one game, the season's already over, you know. So let's just understand that there are a lot of teams out there right now that are 0-1. So I definitely think he can be that number one receiver. I think he has the ability. He just has to go out, really improve it. He was showing it last year, got hurt. And so maybe a little bit of it is just getting back into that game day mode, that the real game days, not just preseason. And, you know, he'll continue to ascend. He's only in his second year. So I feel like with enough patience, he'll definitely be that number one receiver.
In the latter part of your career, after Jimmy Smith was out of Jacksonville, who was the best field stretcher that you played with among the wide receivers? You had a lot of big guys, right?
Yeah, we had big guys. We didn't really have a whole lot of fast guys. But the one guy that I felt like I was always comfortable throwing the ball to, whether it was down the field or intermediate passes, was Mike Sims Walker. But he just could never stay healthy the whole time. And even for a lot of games, he would go out with nicks and bangs and those kind of things, which happens. But he always made me feel like I can throw the ball in his area and he's going to make that play for me. He's going to go up over a guy and make a play for me. He did it against Dallas where I mean, it was just him one-on-one. I just threw the ball up and said, you know, here, go make a play. And he jumped over the guy and came down with it, got both feet in bounds. He was just always real silky smooth, just like Jimmy Smith, but he just never was able to do it consistently for a long period of time. And I think that it wore on the coaches. He was always nicked up, whether it was practice, whether it was in the game. And so he just could never just continue to put it all together.
The reason I bring it up is because I'm wondering about the impact that Marquise Lee can make. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you can't count on him to make any impact. And you can't, maybe, right? But you hope anyway, and he's back at practice on a limited basis this week, maybe going to see about 20 snaps this week. Let's say over the next few weeks he works back up to a full complement of snaps. He's right there in the top three wide receivers, whatever place he takes. How big is that to have a guy that defenses have to respect getting behind the secondary?
It's huge because we had a few guys that were really fast guys, but they were just never consistent enough to always trust them. We had a Chris Broussard. We had Troy Williamson, who were, I mean, these guys.
John Broussard, right?
John Broussard?
Was it?
I thought it was John. Yeah.
John, the skinny dude.
Yeah.
Oh, he could fly.
Sorry, John Broussard. He was so fast. But they only had that top end speed. They never wanted to run anything else that, you know, would complement it. And so DBs would just be ready to just get in a full sprint to run back there. And so, but when you can see a guy that can fly like that, it does change the game. They just have to be able to run other routes other than just going deep all the time. And so we never really had a fast guy that could kind of give you everything.
Who was the guy, Troy, just recently, was it Williamson? Troy Williamson? Who was the kid? Came from Minnesota.
Yeah, Troy Williamson. Yeah, Troy Williamson.
Yeah. You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Those two
guys were really the fast guys that come to my memory bank. We had other fast guys, but they were, you know, just trying to make the team. They were only on the team because they were just fast. But those two guys kind of stand out as at least they made some plays down the field. But it was always tough to throw it deep to them because the defense knew that they were in the game for that reason.
Right. Troy tried to catch it with his face mask too much, I felt. Maybe a few less times with the face mask.
And it's something we've talked about throughout the offseason here, but Allen Hurns, again on Sunday, for a guy of his size and you don't expect him to be able to do it, he finds a way to get open deep. He just needs to catch the doggone ball. I mean, he did it a couple times again on Sunday where it's like, how does this guy manage to get open that far down the field consistently? But he does.
Good
he just
double
doesn't
moves,
make
I
enough
guess,
plays.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what? He's a strong, fast guy too. He might not be the most blazing guy, but he does a great job of separating from the DBs. And I watched some of his tape, if you will. It was a TV copy, but I watched him and I would rewind and see how he's getting himself open. He just has a good burst away from the DB. So if he's running a post, he can really stick you at the top and break in, and the DB kind of gets caught off guard a little bit. I was saying during the game last week, he's one of those guys that gives you like 75% greatness, but then 25% of just, man, where did that come from?
Yeah.
So he'll get wide open and drop the ball.
Yeah.
He'll catch the ball and fumble. He'll make a great catch, but have 1 foot out of bounds. It's just, he has to also work on just an overall consistency too. I think he's just young. And he's an undrafted guy, so he's undrafted for a reason.
Exactly, right? He's got talent. He's Miami's all-time leading receiver when he came out, so clearly he has talent. But the inconsistencies is what they need to get past right now. He's David Garrard. He's Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. More of your calls. We'll hear from Gus Bradley coming up, 641-1010, the number if you'd like to get in as we're live here at Everbank on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
He was doing pretty good today, you know, over at practice. So, you know, I know he's been in the pool and he was walking around today and moving around. So, you know, he's another one that we'll just have to wait and see it another day, you know, what it gives us.
That other one Gus Bradley's referring to is your left tackle, Luke Jokel. Davis, I described it, much maligned in his 2+ years here in Jacksonville, but clearly the best option that they had. Nobody's suggesting otherwise, and you saw the fall off. Jeff Logman said after reviewing the film, Jokel went back great before he got hurt in that game, but clearly Sam Young did not have an outstanding afternoon. How big of a concern among this? Tony, go ahead. Do you have the injury report up right now?
Yeah.
Compare and contrast this injury report with Miami. Start with the Dolphins. Who is listed on the injury report?
The Dolphins this week on the injury report, Rashad Jones, the safety, Derek Shelby, the defensive end, Deion Sims at tight end, Vernon Olivier or Olivier Vernon at defensive end, and Cameron Wake have all been on the practice report. By the way, Vernon's still limited in practice both days this week, so we'll get an official status on him coming up later today. That's really the one to keep an eye on there. For the Jaguars, just listed on the injury report at some point this week, Thurston Armbrister, Andre Branch, Aaron Colvin, Jonathan Cyprian, Josh Evans, Toby Gerhart, Dwayne Grotz, Rashad Green, Luke Jokel, Marquise Lee, Sendarek Marks, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, TJ Yeldon.
That's a bunch.
That's tough.
That's a lot.
That's tough.
Well, how bad off is it if Luke Jokel is unable to go this week?
Well, I mean, you saw the drop off. I know he hasn't been playing great as well, but at least you have a little bit of comfort knowing he's over there. You know, you don't want your left tackle to be a guy that is just opening up a door and letting someone, you know, come hit you in the back. And so,
have you been in that situation where you've been on the field through injury or just somebody, you don't have to name names if you don't want to, but where you're out there and you're like, man, I know this guy has very little chance of stopping the guy across from him right now. What do you do in that situation?
Yeah. I played with a couple guys, but I played with one guy in one situation where I would drop back and before I would get to my fifth step, he'd be like, Dave, watch out! And I'm like, oh no.
What would they yell? Do they yell help? What do they yell when they get beat? Do they yell anything? I mean,
yeah,
they yell, Dave,
watch out!
Literally. Oh my.
And I'm thinking, watch out from where? So I would know where it was coming from. You definitely, and that's the thing. That's what happens to young quarterbacks when you don't have that support up there. You start looking at those guys. You want to see where the shots are coming from because you want to try to know where it's coming from so that you can try to get the ball off in time to beat it. You can't just drop back, survey the defense, and feel like you have enough time to let guys kind of work themselves open. You feel like I'm pressed right now. I've got to get the ball out of my hands, and, you know, maybe it's just throwing it to the sideline to my running back that's running this quick. Oh, no, here's an interception. So that's the thing. You want to be productive. You want to get the ball out fast, but yet, you know, you don't know. You want to be able to sit in the pocket and let guys get open, but you can't.
Let's get a few phone calls in here, Dave, at 641-1010. David Garrard here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with you on Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We'll start with James this morning. Good morning, James. How are you?
Hey, Dave. How's it going, man?
Good, man.
Hey, great to have you on the show, man. Love hearing your comments. I got a question about the receivers. I know they've had some drop balls. You know, I know that's going to happen. But what do you think about the receivers that we have, and specifically Rashad Green? I'm an FSU fan, so I'll take it off there.
Yeah, you know, I like him. I think he had a great preseason. He had that one drop that I remember when he was going across the middle. But he's one of those guys that can get open for you. I don't want to compare him to Dennis Northcutt, but he's like a Dennis Northcutt where he works that slot and does a great job of getting separation, and you can count on him on those third down situations. And he continues to grow and develop. He's going to do a lot of big things for you. He's not a big, fast guy, but he has great separation because he's that kind of quick twitch guy, and he can really separate from those DBs and those safeties. Usually your slot guy is playing the third best DB or a safety, and so they can usually get themselves open for you.
He's definitely a skinny guy when you see him up close. And although I do think he's a little sneaky fast. I've been surprised watching him in person on the practice field at times because it doesn't look as fast when you watch it on TV with Rashad Green. We got this text in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, as a matter of fact, having to do with Rashad Green. Hey, Dave, how do you explain a guy having 7 catches for only 28 yards? Is that on Green, Bortles, or Greg Olsen for the routes on the play calls? Looking at those stats, I can tell how conservative the offense was playing. He was targeted 13 times, caught 7, but only for a total of 28 yards.
Yeah, so a lot of times he's catching the ball and he's just getting hit right when he catches it. And he's probably catching some bubble screens, some just little 5-yard quick run in. and stop and catch the ball. So he's trying to be more of a possession receiver.
Obviously caught the short touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not really stretching the field right now. I saw him in the game a few times running some deep overs, and those are the things that you gotta get confidence in a guy to where you feel like he knows what he's doing when he's running those deeper routes like that. He's not a tall guy, so your margin for error is greater. So, you just have to be able to trust him. As the season goes on, I mean, he's a rookie, so, he's getting used to, Blake's getting used to Rashard as well. And the more and more they continue to connect, the better they'll be. Now, when you throw the ball at them 13 times and you don't throw it to your tight ends at all, that's a big thing when you've got, Mercedes at 6'5", 6'6", whatever he is, and then you have Clay Harbor. You got so many more weapons. I just felt like, why are we throwing the ball to him so many times and not throwing it to some of these other guys? I'm not always about questioning the play caller, but.
What grade are you in?
Yeah.
Buddy? He played in the league, but he's been out of it for a little while, so.
So maybe I'm in middle school.
You're right. You're stuck in high school somewhere.
High school.
Dave, you mentioned the Titans. They said they had some plays called for them, and that the Carolina Panthers were trying to take away the running game and the tight end. I mean, is that an acceptable explanation? I mean, when I say acceptable, I mean, choose to accept it or not. It doesn't really matter. That's what they said it was. But does that jibe with what you saw and the typical experience you would have going into a game if you want to get the ball to the tight end?
No. Anytime you have single high, anytime you have quarters called, those are perfect defenses for a tight end to catch a pass. I mean, I even yelled a few times from my seat.
Blake, look out!
I said, just run a stick route to the tight end. That's just a 5 yard and out. Just a quick catch for him so he can get the ball in his hands and make a play for you. But it was there. And so, but I don't see them running those plays that much. I don't think that's part of Olsen's offense. But you gotta be able to have some quick game, especially when things are bogging down. Because if you're asking your quarterback to drop back and throw, the ball 10, 15 yards down the field every time, and he doesn't have a line in front of him, he's not going to be that comfortable. But if you say, hey, take three steps, take a step out of the shotgun and just fire the ball to one of your receivers or your tight ends real quick, now you're able to get the ball out of his hands, into their hands, and letting them make some plays for you.
6-4, 1-10-10, Roosevelt, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, man.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
Hey, not to rain on the parade or anything like that. I just want to chime on the Jaguars. Every team has its, time frame. And unfortunately, the time frame actually was when David was playing. Unfortunately, I'm not the only one who feels like this. The Jags have made bad business decisions. I mean, in 2008, when they went up and beat Pittsburgh, the roster was stocked with players. And I think Jack Del Rio disciplined players, sent them on their way. The roster just quickly declined. And unfortunately, I mean, everyone, like I said, everyone has their time frame, but the team's blowing up. And I mean, it's not looking good right now. I'm taking comments out there.
All right. Well, first of all, when you say the team had their time frame, well, they also had a time frame from 96 to 2000. That was outstanding, right?
Sure.
And then around about 2003, you're like, wait a minute, did we just have our time frame? I mean, and then it came back, right? I mean, it ebbs and flows sometimes. You can't say, well, this team is good, and now they're not, and they're never going to get it back, because, that's not necessarily how it works. Granted, that roster, as Tony said, looking back, a lot better team probably than we realized in 2007. And the majority of all the decisions that came after that shaped where the direction of this franchise was going to go were made by people that are no longer in charge. Either, ownership is gone, management is gone, coaching is gone. The whole thing's been overturned. And so, you can't hold the current state, I don't believe, on what happened in 2008, 2009, 2010. You look at what Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have been responsible for in their time together, Dave Caldwell a little bit longer. And that's what you judge it on. If you think that's unacceptable or inadequate or not where you'd like them to be or expect them to be at this point in time, that's fair. But to look back and, Jack Del Rio probably got rid of some guys he shouldn't have. And at the same time, probably got rid of some guys that were unpopular to get rid of at the time and made the right call on those guys. You know, it just happens, right?
You know, when I just look at this team and I look at the roster, all of our key important positions are being run by guys that are really young. And so we're, you don't get much of a leash nowadays. You don't get much time to be able to gel with your teammates and make things happen, especially when for the last 5-6 years, things haven't been that good. So your leash just keeps getting shorter and shorter. I just think these guys are going to produce, but it just might not be as fast as they are allowed to produce, honestly.
He's David Garrard. I'm Mike Dempsey, along with Fat Tony. It's Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. Visit them at ClaudeNolan.com or stop in and say hello at 4700 Southside Boulevard. You're going to be amazed at the selection of new and pre-owned vehicles they've got on hand with absolutely no dealer fees, all part of the Claude Nolan Edge. Call 642-5111, 642-5111 for our friends at Claude Nolan Cadillac, and tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take great, great care of you. Coming up next, we've got this date in football and the drive around the NFL. More of your calls welcome as well at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date in 1966, Baltimore quarterback Johnny Unitas threw for 4 touchdown passes. Probably did that a few times. But in that game, he surpassed Y.A. Tittle to become the NFL's career leader with 212 touchdown passes. Unitas would finish his career with 290 such tosses. Tittle wasn't done either. He was still playing and would go on to throw another 25 or so more. This date in 1974, how about the big sofa? Damon Jones, happy birthday, Damon Jones, 41 years young today, drafted by the Jags in the 5th round of the 1997 NFL Draft, 147th overall. Tony, Seacoast Christian Academy, is he still coaching at Seacoast?
I am not sure this year. I'm not on the post game anymore.
I'm not sure either.
Right.
Damon, tremendous work you've been doing as a coach wherever you are these days. So actually, he was in here the other day, right? He came by, said hi to Fred Taylor during the post game. So Damon Jones turns 41 years young today. All right, guys. Johnny U, 290 touchdown passes. What I've got for you is a little pop quiz here. I've got 7 quarterbacks that are currently active that are in the top 20 in career touchdown passes. I want to see how many of these you can get without striking out. Dave, you go first.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is incorrect. Strike one.
I'll go Peyton
Manning.
Tom
Brady.
Peyton Manning's a good one.
Tom Brady.
I'll get on the board because I know he's first all time.
Peyton Manning's number one with 533. Tom Brady is 5th all time with 396. Tony.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is 4th all time with 397. They're going back and forth, these two. Dave, who you got? Active quarterback. All these guys are starters in the league at this moment, too. Not like some Hasselbeck guy, deep back.
Yeah, gosh. I'm drawing a huge blank here.
I'm going to give him a strike. Tony. Say, we need you to save him.
If it's not Aaron Rodgers,
think it's the first round of the 2004 draft. I think all three of them have done it.
All three being?
Eli, Rivers,
Ben Roethlisberger.
In that order, Eli's 13th all-time, 259. Phillip Rivers has 254. Ben Roethlisberger is 252.
And we got one more?
Rounding out the top 20. Exactly 20th is whom? And it's not Aaron Rodgers. Who you got? Who you got? Who you got?
Phillip Rivers.
Had him. Oh. Peyton Manning.
He's Mr. Consistent.
Aaron Rodgers.
No. Still no.
My guess would be Romo.
Tony Romo. Tony Smith takes the big money. He steals the Smith family. Steals all the big money. 245 puts him at number 20.
He does
20.
It every year, man.
He really does.
Every year.
Clockwork. He's right around 30 touchdown passes every single year. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you're in the market for a family dentist, if you need some cosmetic work done, maybe you're interested in Invisalign. They're a certified provider. They've got the Somnomed Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. 620-9225, the number, or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history with a bonus pop quiz.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The first pictures of Jason Pierre-Paul's mangled right hand surfaced yesterday. The photos appeared in the New York Daily News, showed a missing index finger as well as a bandaged middle finger and thumb on Pierre-Paul's right hand. There's still no timetable for his return or rehab or contract signing or really any news when it comes to JPP. We just know what it looks like now with that hand. Peyton Manning continues to surpass milestones and statistics that have been seen by few, if any, other players. Last night, Manning became just the second player in NFL history to have passed for 70,000 career yards. He trails only Brett Favre in that stat, who threw for 71,838 in his career. Manning, after last night's dramatic win, sits at 70,122, so he's going to catch him in that stat this year. Manning broke the all-time passing touchdowns record of Brett Favre last season. Manning would probably need to play this year and in 2016 to surpass Favre in both completions and attempts. And while it's not directly an NFL story, but it is a big football story, the high school players in Texas who attacked the official on the field, tackled him from behind, were on Good Morning America this morning. They said they were ordered to by their coach. Their coach told them that he had been saying some things, some calls weren't right in the game. The quote from them was, "You need to hit the ref. He needs to pay the price." So that's what the kid said this morning on Good Morning America.
Well, which certainly puts the coach in hot water. I don't think it completely absolves the players from doing it. At some point, you reach a point in your life when you're old enough to realize, wait a minute, you're telling me to do what exactly? I'm not going to do that. But certainly a mitigating circumstance in that. David Garrard, you know where you rank on the all-time touchdown pass list? David Garrard's history day.
I do not.
You had 16,003 yards, as we noted earlier, and you have 89 touchdowns, which means you are currently one ahead of Andrew Luck. So if we can shut him out the rest of the way...
The rest of his career.
Lock it down right there. You and Stan Humphries will remain
Stan
in 39th place.
Stan the man.
Stan Humphries, who every time his name comes up, I mention this, but I used to play in the USA Today Salary Cap Fantasy Football Challenge, right? It was probably the first fantasy football I played in the early 90s. They'd have all the prices in the paper, and you would literally call in lineup changes on the phone, and they would mail you your results every week. And you know, it was crazy. So, 1 week, Stan Humphries has a good week the week before, and I decided, I'll pick up Stan Humphries. We'll play as San Diego Charger quarterback. Got a concussion on like the first play of the game. Never played another down in the NFL. Never played a down in the NFL after that. Ruined his career.
And you held on to him the whole time.
That was it. You've been accused of casting your own curse from what we learned this morning, huh?
I guess I have.
There is no curse of David Garrard.
No.
Okay? Dave has not cursed the franchise.
I've relinquished any curses that I've ever
put on the team. If it did, it would have followed out to Oakland right now anyway, right?
Exactly. Threw him out there.
It wouldn't be this franchise. It would be the guy who made that decision. Back in the day, 641-1010, if you'd like to get on board. Let's hear a little bit here from Gus Bradley. Heard a few comments of his earlier, just briefly meeting with the media earlier this week, and was asked about the left tackle position. Oh, look at Chef Tim serving up. But hop on the mic real quick, Chef Tim. Levy Restaurant's bringing us some food. That looks like some kind of filet-o-fish sandwich over there, but a high-quality one. Is that correct?
Yeah, we decided to bring down some of our Seabest products. This is available in the South End Zone, at the Seabest Cool Zone, also in the U.S. Ashore Clubs in the Upper Club. It's our fish sandwich with American cheese, iceberg lettuce.
And, well, thank you.
I dig in. Dave's like, can we eat those, or do we have to just look at them? American cheese, iceberg lettuce, what else we have on
there? Tartar sauce, fresh toasted bun, it's good stuff.
That just looks like...
One of my favorite sandwiches right here.
Oh, man, I mean, you hang out in the South End Zone, you should know, right?
One of my favorite sandwiches, absolutely.
Oh, it smells so good. All right, we'll be eating well here. And how popular is this item?
We were selling really well last week, so we want to sell more fish.
It's not just
burgers and chicken.
What's the secret? I mean, do you fry each fish patty to order as the orders come in?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't do that ahead, so, yep, it's all fresh.
They look extremely fresh.
Yeah, it's actually tilapia, so it's a good quality fish, and we're hoping to sell quite a few of them.
Awesome. So we'll feature these in the South End Zone, again, the Seabest Cool Zone area. There you go, Seabest products. making their way down here. We missed you last week, by the way.
Yeah, missed out on you last week.
I know.
I know you went hungry, skipped lunch, didn't you?
We haven't eaten for a week now, so we're ready to go. We appreciate you you dropping things off. Any other things you'd like to highlight for this weekend in terms of food options for the Jags?
Well, not the food, but we do have the Day Fresh beer all over the place this week. So they're actually brewing the beer that day, delivering it overnight, and all the beer, all the Bud Light on draft in the stadium will be made and brewed that day.
Infant beer, Dave.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
Born on date.
There'll be a lot of people enjoying
yesterday.
That. There you go.
There you go. Chef Tim, we appreciate it, man. Great work from the folks at Levy Restaurants, and we appreciate you bringing a little fish fillet brunch for us.
Well, we are playing the stinkfish today, right?
This week is true.
So,
very true. This is true.
Eat them to beat them.
You know what?
Beat them.
That's a good slogan, man.
You
might want to slap that up there on the concession area. I think that will pack them in.
Yeah, but don't tell my biology teacher. I know a dolphin's a mammal, but hey,
we understand. Yeah. This is Sports Talk Radio. You go. You're already smarter than everybody in the room, all right? Chef Tim, we appreciate you stopping by. Thanks again for great stuff, and we encourage folks to check out all the offerings Levy Restaurants provides here as part of the concession package at Everbank Field. Thanks, man.
No problem.
There you go. Good stuff. All right, let's get back to a little bit of Gus Bradley. I'm confused, Tyler, at this point. Did we hear from Gus talking about Polanco yet, or did I just get distracted by the food? I got distracted by the food, didn't I? Gus was talking about the backup situation in terms of tackles, right? If Luke Joku's not going to play, you put Sam Young possibly in the starting lineup. What does that mean for Luke Polanco? Let's listen in.
He's getting more reps at right tackle and left tackle. So I think, I think every experience for him is learning. You know, he's playing the position for the, well, I don't know how many reps he had during the training camp, but I think it's a learning opportunity for him, and we'll see how it goes. I think that he needs more reps.
He also talked about Dwayne Grotz, who was limited in practice on Tuesday, was limited Wednesday, did not practice yesterday for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gus Bradley talked about Dwayne Grotz and that injury.
Well, we'll see. You know, I saw him today, and he felt pretty good. It was, I think, more of a scare to us, you know, when it took place on the field for him. But then if we got the x-rays and things came back, so, you know, it... You know, he's had an ankle injury in the past, I think, last year, and it didn't seem to swell up as bad. So, you know, we'll just see.
All right. Just going back quickly to the Polanco thing. You know, he's, as you say, he needs more reps. As much as I think Luke Polanco, from everything that you talk to people you trust, tells you he has a very bright future, I don't know if he's ready to play tackle at the NFL level, right?
And right.
He's basically a snap away from doing that now, it appears.
No, he would be, and certainly you don't think he'd be ready to play left tackle, which is where they're going to be potentially really thin coming into this game. They may be forced into a position where they got to decide if they're going to play Polanco out there or if they're going to move Parnell over there and let Polanco play right tackle. Or, like, if there's an injury this weekend at that left tackle spot, they could be in big, big trouble trying to figure it out. And it may wind up being, you know, Mercedes Lewis just standing over there with whoever they can throw in. And maybe the combination of Lewis and Polanco gets them by for a game. But, man, it's not a good position.
No, it's not a good position to be in. What about some Derek Marks? We know he was back in a limited fashion, getting his first practice action. Where's he at right now?
Well, he went through individual drills and moved around pretty good. I think what he found out was some areas maybe that he needs was a little bit more deficient than others. But, you know, now he'll attack that area. So I think his overall strength, he's on the right track. Now they're going to focus in more on that, those specific areas.
You wonder what the race is to get him back on the field, Dave, because they opted not to put him on the physically unable to perform list so he could theoretically get back maybe in the first month of the season. But it sounds like, well, we worked him out and we liked some of the things we saw, but in strengthening one area, maybe something else has become deficient. I'm just trying to interpret reading the tone of Gus's voice there. It sounds like it still may be a while with Sindarik.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you strengthen other things to kind of compensate for your injury, and then your injury gets stronger, but then other areas that you had to, you know, kind of avoid a little bit, they start getting weaker. And so it's just really getting him back totally able to function and totally strong. And so it's a thing that you have to make sure that he is ready to go before you put him back out there.
Yeah, before we get back into the Gus sound, by the way, the injury report today coming out after practice, Grotz, Branch, Marks, Thomas all out officially for the game, according to Coach Bradley. Grotz, the big one in there that you didn't know what was going to be the status for him for this week. So he's out this weekend, which means Nick Marshall is your fourth corner going into this game. With it looks like Colvin's good enough to go, but Nick Marshall is going to be your fourth corner on Sunday. Jokel questionable, Cyprian doubtful for Sunday. Marquise Lee officially listed as probable. So you're probably going to see Marquise Lee play.
20 snaps or so.
Yeah.
And we kind of, Tony, you and I got that indication about Jonathan Cyprian earlier this week that don't really expect to have him out there.
It makes it interesting what they're going to do with Sample, right? Because that is a guy who played a lot of strong safety at Louisville. Josh Evans played free safety, although not all that well for this team last year. Everything's getting shuffled around a lot for this team early on.
Josh Evans has the experience. You would think fewer mental mistakes, but Sample has the upside, and we'll see which way they go there. And Gerhardt's questionable officially, right?
Gerhardt is questionable, yes.
Yeah, I'm not counting on Toby. You can't count on anybody who's questionable. It's a 50-50 proposition, but we'll see. We'll see about him. I was surprised Jokel got the boot off yesterday, quite frankly.
Yeah, and he said they're in a wait-and-see mode with Jokel. He may be able to go, may not be able to Sunday.
That would be big. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear a little thought from Gus on Jonathan Cyprian, and get more of your calls if you're so inclined. 641-1010 is the number. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. Live at EverBank Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
His, to me, he's like the albino tiger at the zoo. You know, get there and you're lucky enough to get him to come out of the cave and see him, you know, it's a good day. So I've only seen him three times, you know, since I've been here. And those 3 days, he was very impressive, but he's only been out 3 days. So we're hoping that we can get him healthy and see a little bit more of him.
The Tiger is probable. The albino Tiger will make his 2015 season debut, so it appears. And they need him, right? I mean, they need some playmakers on this football team, Dave. And boy, coming out of the preseason, will suck you right in, won't it? Offense much improved. Defense, what a concern.
It's like we talked about the injuries, but we kind of talked about them offhanded. You know, it was like, well, Derek Marks will be back soon, and you know, losing Branch hurts
Julius
a little bit,
Thomas
but
will get
they'll
back.
All be back sometime in the first, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of the season, and then we'll see what this team really looks like, and they just keep piling on and piling on and piling on. And when you look at a team that you're already playing catch-up with the rest of the league, what you don't need is the guys that you feel like you can rely on not being available to you, because in the end, what it turns into is 20-9 against the Carolina Panthers. They don't have enough right now to overcome the kind of obstacles that are being put in their way. It's an unfortunate reality for this football team.
Now, look, I'm not going to say Blake Bortles is anywhere on the Peyton Manning spectrum yet, but Peyton Manning played very poorly early on last night, right? They're down 14, okay? Playing against a very good defense, terrific pass rusher. They had like 5 sacks of Peyton last night, something like that.
Both
right?
Offensive lines were terrible. I know those are two good pass rushes, but both right. offensive but lines
what
were
I'm
awful.
Saying, quarterback under duress, right? Couldn't run the ball.
Nope.
Now, what you had was you had Demaryius Thomas making some good plays in tight coverage. You had Emmanuel Sanders getting open as well. So you had wide receivers presenting opportunities that Manning finally was able to catch up and take advantage of, but they didn't get much from the tight end position. I think Owen Daniels had like a couple of catches, 3 catches for 19 yards,
yeah.
Something like that.
I don't remember seeing anyone drop a wide open ball.
And we all sat there in the middle of the first half and thought, this team's going to get blown out, right? And yet they uglied it up, and they scrapped it up, and they made a strip as Jamal Charles is going in to maybe put the game away. You know, it's going to be 21-0 if they get a touchdown there, at least 17-0 with a chip shot field goal. And they scrapped along, and they hung around, and at the end of the night, Peyton Manning, as they said on the broadcast, maybe the happiest they'd ever seen him after a football game, I think Phil Simms said. And I tend to agree with that. And Dave, just it doesn't matter. Just find a way, right? Doesn't matter how ugly it is for 59 minutes. If you can pull it out in the 60th minute, it washes away a lot of the bad stuff that happened.
Absolutely. You know, when you're a quarterback in the NFL, you're going to have times in the game when you're not playing very well, but you have to keep plugging along. You have to keep doing things to make improvements with your game so that you can come out of your funk. And then once you do, it's like, okay, and the light's on now. Here we go. Let's roll. And that's basic. I've seen Peyton Manning go through that quite a few times where he's playing terrible. He starts to check the ball down a few times. He starts to hand it off. They get a few runs here and there. confidence starts to come back in the offense, and his guys are getting open, and like you said, they're catching the ball. And so that's just what Blake has to continue to do, is to realize it's not always going to be pretty, but I can turn it around and finish it up and make it look pretty, because the only thing people care about is how you look at the end, and then do you win the ball game? So we don't care that you look ugly early. Can you finish up? Can you fight and claw your way back into it and then come out with the win? That's all fans. What'd you do for me lately? And that's what they care about.
And you know what? I don't blame them, right? I mean, ultimately, they're paying the ticket prices. They haven't had many of those over the last 3 years. So let's get some W's here. Question from David J. on Twitter. David J. 28-2002, however, for Dave. Will we see more max protect and power run sets if Jokel is not playing? Is that the way to go? This is a team that's been looking for offense now. It's only been one game, but a continuation of what we've seen in recent years, looking to put points on the board. Max protect keeps your quarterback upright more often than not, but does it give you enough guys out there in the pattern to really threaten defenses?
Yeah, you know it's catch 22. You protect for your quarterback, but then you don't have the guys on the field. So I don't see them necessarily just max protecting the whole time. I would think they would do a lot more chips. I would think they would have to do this anyway with Cameron Wake out there. You're gonna help your tackles by using your tight ends to chip to stay in sometimes, but using your running backs to also get out there and give them a presence, because you just don't want that DN just flying up the field and going around your tackle and hitting your quarterback. So you want to give your tackle just some presence. You do want to max protect at times, but you can't do it the whole game, you know, because now your defense is just going to play to that. They'll just rush four, keep everybody back there in coverage, and your guys aren't going to be open. And so your quarterback will still get hit because he's still waiting for his guys to get open, and he has to run around and try to make plays with his legs. He's going to have to do that anyway, but you don't want to put the stress on him to not being able to find those guys, because they're just sitting back in coverage and they're just rushing four, and you're still max protecting.
You know, it's talking about the injuries with this team too. Julius Thomas, who I think most would consider probably the best offensive player on this roster, their best defensive player, Cedric Marks, out for the beginning of the season. They lose their first-round draft pick, who was supposed to help their pass rush. They lose the guy at Leo, who they were hoping would take a step forward this year. Now potentially they're without their left tackle. All of these things are reality. And at the same time, the performance on Sunday wasn't close to good enough. Because the guys who are going to be put on the field, you're still professionals. And when you have opportunities to make plays, you make them. That's your job. And even with all those injuries going on around him, I expect more out of this team than I saw on Sunday. It's not an excuse for this team. They're beat up. They're banged up. And they're getting more and more injuries by the week. Cyprian may not be able to go this week. It's not an excuse for the guys that are put on the field to not make plays that are presented to them when they have the opportunity to, David.
Yeah, you know, that's true. But it definitely starts to weigh on a team when all of your top-end guys are getting hurt. They're your starters, your top guys for a reason. And so when you have to plug in so many backups, so many guys that, you know, don't have that same kind of ability, it frustrates the team. It wears on the team. They are going to give you a great face, and they're going to give you the comments that you want to hear. But still, when you go out there and make plays, you know, if it's not Cedric Marks on the D-line providing that pass rush, just like if Sue's not out there. If Sue was not there, you would be able to see a big difference in that pass rush. If Wake wasn't out there, you're going to see a big difference. And so that's what we're being hit with. We're being hit with all of our best guys being hurt. And so there's only so much you can ask a backup to do. Now, sometimes you'll get a backup to go out there and he'll emerge as somebody you never thought would be as good as he is. But, you know, that's far and few in between. So you have to hope that they can go out there and give you a good performance. You hope some guys can step up, make some plays, and you just want them to be in the game at the end. You want them to be in the game, and then you want them to be able to come up with a victory, but our fans want them to be in the game. Give us a chance. Let's have a 2-minute drive where we got to go down and win. Let's have a 2-minute drive where we got to hold them out. But to just be either blown out or look terrible the whole game, nobody likes that. We want to go be entertained. And if you're just sluggish the whole time, and then you still get beat by, you know, 14 points, it's almost like, what's the point for us to come out here? But we support our team. We're going to continue to support our team as long as we continue to see them working their butts off on the field.
All right. I got this yesterday sent to me, and I was reminded of Jimmy Smith just retweeted this. Got this on Twitter yesterday. Said, would you please promote Tony Boselli and Jimmy Smith for the NFL Hall of Fame? Folks can go to NFL.com/HOF vote. I don't think it has any impact on the actual Hall of Fame. They're taking a fan vote because they've got the initial list of guys. They will narrow it down to 25 candidates, and from there they will select the inductees, and they'll have, you know, the semis and the finals, who makes the final voting and all that. They do it at Super Bowl weekend. But nevertheless, there are a number of guys on there, if you go to NFL.com/HOF vote, that have Jaguar ties. I'm going to give you the top five Jaguar tie guys for the Hall of Fame voting right now. You got Boselli, obviously. You got Jimmy Smith, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Longtime Jaguar great Torrey Holt is on the Hall of
long
Fame ballot.
Great.
Right? One year of greatness. We have, of course, Stefan Wisniewski's Uncle Steve, who's on there. Steve Wisniewski, 8-time Pro Bowler. I mean, he comes from a hell of an athletic family. His dad and uncle, longtime NFL players. And then we've got one of the, probably the greatest Jaguar kicker of all time, Morton Anderson, is on the ballot as well. So you got five right there to vote for. You can vote for 25 of them. And I did not vote for Marvin Harrison. Don't tell him. He may shoot me. But you can vote for whoever you like. Don't know if it has any bearing on anything, but nonetheless, kind of fun to do, and gives the NFL at least put those guys on the radar, right? Say, hey, wow, how'd Boselli and Jimmy Smith get all these votes? It's because Jag Nation is strong.
Right. Can we get it to the point where there is somebody in a room standing
discussing
up to stump for Tony Boselli?
Right, and or can we get to a point where there's a ballot passed around about Tony, you know, in the final stages, and Jimmy as well, and then, hell, all these other guys.
Right, because it feels like once they're having the discussion about you in the room, it's inevitable. Like, at some point, it's going to happen for that guy. Once you get to that point in the process, it's just Tony every year gets put right here. You know, and as great as he was for when he was in the league, it was that short-lived career, but he was so good in that short amount of time, he just can't get in to that point where somebody's in the room standing up and saying why Tony Boselli deserves to be there.
But it's look at this ballot this year. You've got Brett Favre, you've got Kevin Green, you've got Marvin Harrison on there. Who else? Ty Law, outstanding player. Who am I missing?
And Orlando Pace. Plays.
Orlando Pace, Kurt Warner on there. I think many of these guys deserving and would expect them to get in. How does Darren Sharper make I guess they don't count off the field stuff, but really? Darren Sharper?
There's no way you can induct that dude into your Hall of Fame.
No way. No way you can get in now. Like, right. OJ, would he even get in now?
No.
Would he not?
I don't think
Taylor,
so.
Lawrence Taylor didn't murder people, but Lawrence Taylor was pretty
Lawrence
much
Taylor
a
was
wild
a,
man,
was
and they a, just said, hell, he's a great player. Let's
right.
put him in.
But he just partied, I think, when,
yeah.
you're,
these,
when,
you right. when you're a rapist
you.
Or
yeah.
a murderer.
Yeah.
They
right.
have a line. Like,
no,
even
I
the
get
NFL
it.
Has
get
a
it.
Line.
I get it.
You shall not cross. You want to get high on coke and go play? Look,
once
it was the
you're
80s.
In, you're in, though. I mean, how did Darren Sharper get enough support right now to put him on that ballot? Oh, my goodness. Hope that's making his time. Actually, I don't. I hope it goes as miserable for him as it possibly can. All right, the fan feedback question today asked you today, what are your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars as they take on the Miami Dolphins this weekend? Fat Tony and David Guerrero will go through some of your responses coming up. I'm going to get out of here, Tony, as you and I have got your Jacks Fantasy Football on CW17
yep.
to film this afternoon. And I may have forgotten something critical to the show. So I've got to truck on home to St. Augustine. I'm sure it'll be fine. St. Augustine, it was I-95 South was closed at State Road 16 earlier today. So I can only hope it's just as free-flowing as it was earlier today. I'm sure I'll be back in no time, Tony.
My goodness.
Got to go back, come back. That's about 2 hours round trip. Film the show, go home. We got two more radio shows this afternoon. That'll just be put me in a great mood as we head into the weekend.
I could tell
it?
how happy a mood you were in when
oh,
I
yeah.
got here.
That's, I forgot the damn thing. All right, never mind. Doesn't matter. David Grunt, good to see you, man. And I'll be listening for your keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up, and hopefully we can have a much different tone to the show next
Absolutely.
Week. And we're looking at how can we get above 500? How can we steal one in Foxborough from those dirty, cheating Patriots? So we'll do that next week, hopefully. All right, Dave, good to see you. Before we get out of here, tell us about Retro Fitness. What's happening? What's the latest at Retro
Fitness?
We got
something going on pretty cool right now. We're going to sponsor the warm-ups at the Jaguar games for this year.
Nice!
Yeah, so they're going to have our logo up, and we're going to be all around the stadium and all that kind of cool stuff. So the warm-ups will be brought to you by Retro Fitness.
All right, those better be some good warm-ups, man.
Absolutely.
We'll be watching those very closely. No other fitness club is going to give you more for your money. Membership's as low as $19.99 per month. Give us the two locations.
We have one at Bay Meadows and one at Harbor Village. That's Atlantic and San Pablo.
All right, there you go. And RetroFitnessJax.com, the website.
You got it.
If you need more information, go check it out. David Garrard is in impeccable shape, and he stays that way with Retro Fitness. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, sir.
All right, man. There he goes. For David Garrard, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. They're sticking around, and you should as well. As I'll talk to you next on the pregame show with J.P. Shadrick coming up 3 hours prior to kickoff on Sunday afternoon. So let's hope those Jags make the most of their opportunity here at home against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. All right, that does it for me, but Jaguars Today rolls on in the moment with Fat Tony and David Garrard here on 1010XL. On a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I've already got 4 days of detention. I don't want any more. I'm going to start following the rules.
But this isn't you, Cartman.
Yeah, where's the Eric Cartman we know? The Eric Cartman we know breaks the rules. And he gets away with it, just like his hero. Come on, who's your hero, Cartman?
Tom Brady.
Right, and what does Tom Brady do after breaking the rules?
Deny and subvert.
Yeah! Yeah, what? Well, what would Tom Brady say if he got caught shoplifting?
Everybody shoplifts, why are you coming down on me?
Yeah! You're Tom Brady, Cartman. And that new principal in there is the football commissioner trying to dictate his punishment to you. And what happens when an invulnerable cheater comes up against an elitist corporate dictator?
Perfect storm of hypocrisy that everyone in the country has to deal with for months on end.
Yeah!
You're right, guys. I'm gonna Tom Brady this thing.
Yeah!
I'm gonna say, you're not giving me 4 days of detention. You're only giving me one.
Yeah!
No, to hell with that. You're giving me no days of detention.
Yeah!
Thanks, guys. I almost forgot the lessons that football has taught us all. I can get around these pesky rules.
Oh, South Park never change.
That was awesome.
That was from the premiere earlier this week. They took down the whole Tom Brady thing. They did some Caitlyn Jenner stuff on that show as well, as only South Park could do. But that was Cartman after being suspended by the new PC principal and expressing something I think we've all been thinking for the last 6 or 7 months. Just fantastic stuff. Mike Dempsey on the road. He's got to go pick up a shirt so that we can do a TV show a little bit later this afternoon. I'm Fat Tony. David Garrard alongside. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight here in just a moment. It's funny, Mike, forgetting that shirt. Like, every Thursday we do Jaguars Today, then we go back over to the station and do the fast hour of fantasy talk over there, the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast. And every Thursday when I'm leaving, he's like, don't forget your shirt. Don't forget your shirt. Don't forget your shirt. And today he forgets his shirt. And he only lives an hour away. So it's 2 hours back and forth. And it's a good thing I didn't have any plans for, I don't know, 2 o'clock this afternoon, because I got a feeling that's about what time we're recording.
He should have just got some tape and just wrote FanDuel on there and just stuck the tape on there. I mean,
it's a TV show.
Yeah, come on.
They can do some kind of effects or something.
Absolutely.
To help him out, I would think. let's get into our predictions for what we think is going to happen on Sunday here in just a moment. First, let's get to the fan feedback spotlight here on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. On Jaguars Today, we asked fans today their keys for the game for Sunday against the Miami Dolphins, what they think the three keys would be for this Jaguars team to get the win this week. From Iris Jaguar, number one, don't suck. Number two, catch the ball. Number three, 99-yard touchdown by Lee in the dying seconds. That would be sweet, except that you had the ball at the one-yard line. Nick says, number one, get the tight ends involved in the game. Number two, run the ball more than we pass. Number three, win the turnover battle. Hashtag no more pick six. From Duval Doom, run to the right, don't turn it over, catch the football. If you don't catch the ball, go back to one. From Daniel, keys, one, win the run game, two, no pick six, three, turnover on defense, hashtag we believe in victory. It's sad that no pick six is part of people's keys.
I know, that is.
To a football game. From Richard, catch the ball, don't drop the ball. That's kind of the same thing. Blake Bortles must scream and tell any wide receiver who does drop the ball. He just wants to see guys catch it. From Gabe, Blake Bortles, number two, target a tight end. Number three, tight end catches pass. We didn't see any of that last week. From Ortapalooza, number one, establish the run game, 30 or more total rushes. Number two, get Blake Bortles going with high percentage passes. Number three, contain Lamar Miller. From David, winning time of possession, turnovers, and third down will help them graduate to a winning team. From Demetrius, number one, dominate time of possession. Number two, heavy run game. Number three, wide receivers catch and hold on to the damn ball. From Eric, run the ball, catch the ball, play better than last week. Hashtag running theme lately. And from Jason, contain Sue, get the ball to the tight ends, preferably Mercedes, and run TJ Yeldon. From Cam, dominate in the trenches, convert on third down, and make plays on special teams. See Landry week one. He certainly broke that game open for the Dolphins last week. And finally, from Cristiano, execute game plan better than we understand it. Win the turnover battle and better offensive line play. And there's a lot of snark in there, as you would expect. With the way they played last week, they're going to get a little bit of that from the fans. I think there's whatever sense of optimism there was coming into week one is you knew if it looked bad week one could turn into this pessimistic kind of we're never going to be any good attitude after a week. And, you know, I'm on here every day. We're experiencing a lot of it. And I'm sure being out in the stands on Sunday, you got to talk to a lot of people who were that kind of upset too.
Yeah, but you know what? A win will cure it all. And if they just get a win this weekend, you'll have some of the happiest fans in the NFL. So a win always cures everything.
No, it does. It's crazy. Like, just how much better you feel if after this weekend they're 1-1. And part of me wants to believe the same thing I believed 7 days ago. You know, that this is an improved offense.
Yeah.
That the defense can be good enough to keep them in ball games. Part of me wants to believe that that's still there, and it certainly could be. But we talked about all the injuries and everything that they're going to be dealing with this week with all the players that they're going to have out. Doesn't mean I don't think they can beat the Miami Dolphins. It becomes that much more difficult to beat the Miami Dolphins. And from a fan perspective, look, some people out there are saying, oh, just give us a competitive game. You can say that now. On Sunday afternoon, if they're in a competitive game and lose because of a mistake they make, doesn't matter how competitive it was. In the end, it doesn't matter how competitive it is. They won or they lost. This is year three with these guys. They got to start finding ways to win these football games.
You really do. I mean, you've got professional athletes out there. It's not like you don't. Just like you were saying earlier in the program, they're professional athletes. Go out there and make some plays, and that's the truth. Even if you are a backup, you still can come in and make some plays. You're in the NFL for a reason, and if your number is called upon, go out there and do your job. Make the plays that you're supposed to make. Nobody is saying to be Superman or anything, but make the plays you're supposed to make. If the ball is thrown to you, make the catch. Run after the catch. I mean, the game is pretty simple. It's a tough physical game, but when you really break it down, it's pretty simple. And if you're ready for my keys to the to
yeah, bring
victory,
them on.
Yeah, I am looking for Blake bouncing back. He had two interceptions. One was a pick six. So I'm looking to see him come back and have a strong game this weekend. But with that, my second thing is the offensive line is going to have to find a way to protect for him. You got Sue. You got Cameron Wake. Those are two really, really tough guys to try to block. When I was with Miami in our training camp practices, I mean, he was back there waiting on me sometimes before I could get to my fifth step.
Wake was?
Yeah, he's a fast, strong guy. So they're going to have to figure out a way to game plan him. And then, like somebody else said, one of the fans, win the turnover battle. Defense, let's get some turnovers. Offense, let's keep the ball and go score points. Let's not continue this this thing of always turning the ball over and never getting any turnover. So those are my keys. If they can just win the turnover battle, I think they would probably have a great chance of winning this ball game.
I tend to agree with you, and it's something we talked about, especially in the second half of last season. Just play a clean game.
Yeah.
You know, where you're not giving teams these free opportunities to go score points on you, which is what the pick sixes are, and, you know, turnovers in your own end of the field, that kind of thing. It's just free, easy opportunities for opponents. So I think it's no turnovers in this game is a real key. Not only for this game, but for their confidence going forward, you would feel like, because they look so shook after that pick six last week against Carolina. And I think it's about establishing the run and allowing that to get this offense into a rhythm. T.J. Yeldon was the player that I walked away from last week's game being the most impressed
Absolutely.
By. He looks like an NFL good running back.
Absolutely.
Making guys miss. The play that impressed me the most was actually the 12-yard run he had in the second half, where he breaks through the line of scrimmage, and he's got the corner coming from one way, the safety from the other, and he got small, ran through the corner's arm tackle, and dragged the safety for another 3 yards. And I'm like, that's what NFL runners do.
Yes.
You know, and he looks so comfortable. It's like whatever he did at Alabama made that easy for him. You know, that adjustment, and everybody was worried about 8 carries for 10 yards. No.
He still looked good. Right before the half, the one that impressed me, where I believe he caught the ball, made a quick jump step on the corner, and got himself out of bounds.
Yep.
I mean, that's a play not many guys can make. And so he has a really good jump cut on the field. So I see him being a big part of this game too. I couldn't make 4 points for the win, but I see them getting the ball to him quite often.
Yeah, and I think the other thing for me is very similar to last week. Tannehill's dangerous when he gets out of the pocket, and you allow him to make, you know, plays that aren't
supposed to be there.
Right. You know, the third downs that broke the defense's back last week against Cam, those are the kind of plays Cam makes. It's also the kind of plays Tannehill makes, and they have to be able to take those away and get off the field on third down defensively. And I don't think they have no chance. I think the Dolphins are going to win on Sunday, but I think the Jaguars have an okay chance to beat Miami this week. I don't expect them to go out there and get beat by 20 points. I expect them to be in this ball game going into the fourth quarter. And if they're not, I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah, just like you said, I see them making this a ball game. I do think they have a chance, especially if they can win the turnover battle. If they can get interception out of Tannehill, a couple of them, if they can call some fumbles, get off the field on third downs, then they have a great chance. I mean, of course, if anybody does all these things, that gives them a better chance to win. But they have the opportunity to do it. They are missing quite a few guys, but those other guys are still going to have to step up and make some plays.
One more time before we get out of here, what's going on with Retro Fitness?
We are going to be sponsoring the warm-ups this weekend and moving forward for this year. So you'll see our logo all over the place during warm-ups, and we're pretty excited about this.
That's cool,
you know,
yeah.
I just still want to be a part of the Jags in any kind of way. I'm a season ticket holder, and you know, so if I can, you know, help my business out and be a part of the Jaguars, that's definitely what I want to do. So
that's David Garrard. I'm Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey already out the door. So for Mike, for David, for myself, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Gus Bradley, who joined us via the soundbite earlier today on the program, and for Cartman, we'll say go Jags this weekend. We certainly hope to come in on Monday and be talking about a 1-1 football team. It's a lot more fun to talk about than an 0-2 football team. I just don't expect it. We'll see what happens this weekend. Go Jags on Sunday. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Back with you with the pregame show this weekend, obviously, as well as the TV show over there on the CW for fantasy football, so you can get your lineup set with Mike and I. We'll be recording that a little bit later this afternoon. It'll be on Saturday night at 11, Sunday morning at 11:30. We'll welcome in the boys of XL Primetime next here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!